God has good things in store for us. Very good things. And there occasionally we'll catch some ripples, some turbulence. We'll have to navigate around a few stones. But through it all, you know, the Lord is directing us. If we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He'll direct our path. So we know He's faithful. He's good all the time. Doesn't change. We just abide in His goodness. Abide in His love. Keep ourselves shut in with Him. And trust fully in the grace of our Lord. And His grace is sufficient. It's always sufficient. It's always enough. And actually, He's more than enough, isn't He? Yeah, exceedingly abundant. Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to go back to Revelation 15 to start with and briefly go over what we did last week in our study. And then I want us to move forward into the judgments. And we're going to probably, if we're able, we're going to go up to the sixth angel, the sixth bowl. Revelation chapter 15, verse 5. The temple in heaven is opened to John, and he sees seven angels. And they're released out of this open sanctuary to release these final plagues, which is this is the final outpouring of God's wrath upon the wicked. Now, after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now, we talked about a little bit about this last week, that this is at the time when God's mercy has passed. There's no more time for repentance, no more time for intercession. God is a long-suffering. God is very patient. God is not willing that anyone should perish. But as it was in the days of Noah, there is a time. There's a time for people to repent and turn to God. And then there's a time when the judgment is sealed, and God will pour out His judgments. And so today we're living in the day of God's salvation, of His mercy. If you come today and get your heart right today, you can be saved. And in Genesis 6:3, the Lord said to Noah, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. And so in James chapter 5 and verse 8, we're admonished to be patient and establish our hearts. Establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And that word establish means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. So let's look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" And verse 2. This is the first bowl, loathsome sores. "So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image." And so this is typical of that which happened to the Egyptians. If you remember in Exodus 9, how the first plague was a plague of boils, remember? Came upon the Egyptians. And in Revelation chapter 7, we see that God marks His servants with the mark of the Father. Amen? And their foreheads. And this mark is for divine protection. Now, we know that the mark of the beast is a mark of doom. It's a brand of hell, if you will. And these sores are going to be extremely painful. So those who receive this mark are going to experience these horrible boils and these sores. Verse 3 says, "The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died." Now, in this plague, we see the sea turns to blood. It says, like a dead man. So, in other words, it's going to coagulate, and it's going to be rotting and stinking. And every living thing in the sea is going to die. Now, previously, we talked about the shipping in Revelation 8 and 9, where one-third of the shipping industry will be lost because of the judgments of God. But here, it's going to be a complete annihilation because everything is going to be completely destroyed because of the conditions. And then the third angel here in chapter 16, verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. So here, in addition to the seas, the rivers and drinking water sources are ruined. And the rivers and the oceans help purify the air and balance nature. And so the plankton, plants, and water also supply most of Earth's oxygen. So if these things die, if the plant life in the ocean dies, and the fish and all the animals within the sea die, then this is going to also diminish the Earth's oxygen supply. So can you imagine what happens when there's a lack of oxygen? You begin to choke. You're gasping for air. And then we hear in verse 5, the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets." So here God's vengeance is upon those who have persecuted God's people. "And you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." In verse 7, "I heard another angel from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" So in verse 8, we look at the fourth angel here. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Now, down through the ages, we see where man has worshipped the sun. And how many knew that yoga is a form of sun worship? So many people are into yoga. There's this big push for yoga today. Every one of those positions have some religious meaning in Hinduism. And it's how the enemy works. He works through something like that, very subtle. Most people would not even realize that what they're getting into. And he doesn't come with, like we say many times here, in a red suit with horns, but he comes as an angel of light. He looks innocent. He looks friendly. He looks like your friend. But he's not, obviously, and he's got an agenda to mess you up. And so to get people involved in doing something that maybe initially may just be exercise, and I know many people innocently are practicing yoga as a form of staying in shape and helping their joints. But, you know, the enemy always works often through just one thing at a time. He'll start out with something that seems to be innocent and very slowly begin to draw you in deeper. And once you begin to compromise even a little bit, it opens you up for even greater deception. We have to give no place to the devil, amen? None at all. No compromise. Good is good, evil is evil. There can be no compromise. And so here God is revealing that He is the sustainer of all things, amen, not the sun. The sun is a created thing, but it is not to be worshipped as God. And you would think that this would drive people to repentance, but actually, instead, they get angry at God and they blaspheme God. And Malachi talked about this in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, it talks about the very same thing, that the world, you know, is going to be burned up. And what manner of persons ought we to be, seeing that these things are all going to be dissolved? "Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain." And verse 11, "And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And they did not repent of their deeds." And there are some folks that no matter what happens, they dig their heels in, they refuse to bow their knee to God. And these are the ones that are going to be lost because God pleads with us. God is long-suffering, you know that. They condemn themselves by refusing the offer of God's mercy. If we will turn to Him, He is willing, amen, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. He wants to forgive. He wants to restore us to right relationship with Him. But God will not force us. And if people refuse to turn back to Him, then they will get what they ultimately wanted, and that is eternal separation in hell. Now, that word blasphemy, I looked it up. It means the act of cursing, slandering, reviling, or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. So they blaspheme God. They're cursing. They begin to slander. You know, that's happening now. People are slandering God. Yes. I have, for a brief moment, I've turned on some of these comedy things that they have. And I tell you why it's only a brief moment, because they're filthy. But I have caught some stuff where they're just completely blasphemous. And they're ridiculing and slandering God. And I'm just blown away by some of the stuff. And it means to revile or show contempt or lack of reverence for God. So what happens in this judgment, this fifth angel, is that what happens? The earth is turned into darkness. And now Amos saw this same thing in Amos chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light." And Jesus also spoke of this in Mark chapter 13, verse 24. "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light." So I don't know about you, but I get tired of just a little bit overcast and rain day after day after day, and I'm looking for some sunshine. But this is going to be much darker, folks, than just a rainy day. And it's not going to be pretty for those who are here. The sixth angel then in verse 12, "He poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and it was dried up, so that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." And many Bible scholars believe that this drying up of the Euphrates is in preparation for this great battle, end time battle. Most of us know it's called Armageddon. And there's going to be a release of these demonic forces that are going to come together in rebellion against the God of heaven. And they're going to meet in this valley of Megiddo. And you know, this same valley has been a place throughout history where there's been many wars and many battles fought. But this is going to be a rallying together of a one end time final battle, which the Lord Jesus, of course, will be victorious. And once this river is dried up, it talks about the kings of the east. If you think about that and you look at where the Euphrates River is in the proximity to Israel, it is to the east. And Russia, China, India, and Iran, which was Persia in Scripture, these are to the northeast. And so if you just go draw a line from Israel, you go northeast, that's where those nations are. And once the Euphrates is dried up, they're going to be able to march. There's even talk of the possibility of, because of the dams that they have, if they wanted to. So things are lining up. You know, things are definitely getting in place here. I don't know if you notice, there's a lot of buzz about Iran right now. And they hate Israel. And this is more than just a natural enemy. Amen. This is a spiritual battle. And these demons have been unleashed. They are putting things together. They are drawing things together for this last, this end time battle. Now, why, you know, have you ever wondered why Israel, being such a little tiny nation, you know, such an seemingly insignificant nation, could draw so much worldwide attention and be the focus of the news? And one little nation, I mean, there's nations all over the world that are having civil wars and having problems with their neighbors, and yet, why is it Israel that gets the attention in the Palestinian problem? Do you think it might have anything to do with what the Bible says? That God is, amen? That His word is true, that they are indeed God's people, His ancient people. They were to be a kingdom of priests. They were separated unto Him to represent Jehovah in the earth. And in Christ, you and I have come into the covenants, amen, of Abraham, by the blood of Christ. And we also can be recipients of the same blessings. But with that also comes the same persecutions. So it's not just Israel, but it's the church also that's being persecuted. and will continually be persecuted until the time when Jesus returns and puts an end to the foolishness. But I believe that there's coming a time, and it won't be too far off, I believe, when the Lord is going to rapture, He's going to come, and He's going to come for His people. He's going to receive us unto Himself. If you don't believe in the rapture, that's okay. I'll leave the light on for you, but there's going to be a catching away. One thing I do know for sure, and it's very clear in Thessalonians, that the Lord has not appointed us, His people, to suffer His wrath. We'll have tribulation in the world, but we're not here to suffer His wrath. Aren't you glad? He didn't purchase us with His blood and then to put us through His judgments, all right? We are to escape these judgments. There is an escape for the people of God in Christ. And then in verse 13, it talks about these three unclean spirits like frogs coming up out of the mouth of the dragon. We're in Revelation 16, guys, and verse 13. And out of the mouth of the beast, listen, out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. What is that? That's the unholy trinity. For they are spirits of demons. Now, what do these demons do? It says they perform signs. Oh, so just because there is a sign doesn't necessarily mean it's of God. Amen? We need to have discernment. We need to test the spirits, whether they are of God or not. These demons, these lying spirits, they perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. That is Armageddon. And so these frogs symbolize these lying spirits that through propaganda, how many know propaganda is very powerful? How through propaganda, the earth, the people of the earth are being groomed, if you will, to receive the mark of the beast. They're being groomed to worship this false Christ, this Antichrist. They're being groomed right now. And if we don't turn to the Christ while we have opportunity, and we don't turn away from our sin, amen, and repent and turn to Jesus Christ, then the time will come when there will be great delusion that will be released on the earth. And those who refuse the love of the truth are going to believe a lie, and they will be condemned. When God pours out His mercy and His grace, it's the time of His favor. It's a time when we can come and get right. Amen? It's a time when we can come on board the ark of His safety, who is Jesus Christ, that we might be spared from His wrath, hallelujah, that is coming upon the face of the whole earth again. The first time by water, the last time is going to be by fire. It's going to be a renovation of fire. And so we see all these things that are coming together, and it says that they perform signs, and they are bringing all these things together in the kings of the earth for this great battle. And verse 15, the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, He just drops something in there. It's kind of interesting. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Have you ever just been kind of going along a certain path of your life? Business as usual? You might have been thinking about something, you know, focusing on something, and all of a sudden there's an interruption. Something gets dropped in. This is what's happening here. All of a sudden there's just like, boom, He just drops something in the midst of this, that He's seeing these things, and the Lord speaks. He says, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Now, what does that mean? He's coming as a thief. It talks about an unexpected arrival. Amen? If you knew a thief was going to break in, you'd be up and waiting for him. And isn't that why Jesus said that we need to be vigilant, that we need to be alert, we need to be awake? Because He says He's coming in an hour when you think not. And so we don't want to be caught, you know, in the dark or asleep spiritually when the Lord returns. I believe this is talking about the rapture and the second coming of Jesus. And so now we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. We don't wait until, you know, we go to that last seminar and find out how much time we have to buy. You know, so that we can go out and party a little longer. See, well, if I still got a little more time, according to the last end time seminar that I went to, you know, the Lord is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, you'll reap of the flesh corruption. If you sow in the Spirit, you'll of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen? And so we need to be sowing in the Holy Spirit, because our reward in heaven is eternal. Amen. We don't want to live for this temporary world, which is coming to nothing. Now, I wrote down five reasons, and I'm going to finish with this tonight. If you have something to write them down with, why people don't repent. Number one, because they have wicked hearts. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, we think that we know our hearts. And sometimes we think we know other people's hearts too. I've had people judge my heart and they didn't have a clue. I sense that there's something wrong in your heart. I've had people tell me that because they disagreed with me. There's something wrong with my heart. Yeah. Now, it is true that by the Spirit, sometimes God will allow us to see something to protect us. All right? But most of the time, you know, God is not a God that likes to just expose everybody. Amen? He's a God of love. But there's times when we need to see something for the protection of a person. Not so that we can flaunt their folly, right? I marvel at the people who, they go around and they claim to be able to read everybody's heart. But when they read their heart, they're just broadcasting their garbage. Yes. And I question by what authority they're operating. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
See, demons have enough knowledge too about a person's life. A familiar spirit can propagate as being the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
They're lying spirits. They're lying prophets. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. The only way you can tell the difference is through the Word of God and the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit will never contradict what is written in this book, by the way.
That's right.
Amen. Be careful about adding to the Word. Because you can make it say whatever you want. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I, the Lord, search the hearts. Amen. The Lord is the one who searches our hearts. Yeah. So in that case, we need to leave that to God to know that if I really want to know where I stand, I need to pray. And I need to ask God by the Holy Spirit to show me. Not a lot of people want to do that because they don't really want to know. Sometimes people are afraid to really hear from God because God may not agree with what they're doing and how they're living, right? But those who are of the truth will come into the light so that whatever we do is made manifest. Amen? We need to be an open book. We are anyways to God. But God wants us to be an open book before Him. And in other words, not try to hide anything from Him like Adam. But to come into the light and to know that there is mercy at the cross. There is mercy, amen, with Jesus. If you will come to Him, He shed His blood so we could be forgiven. Aren't you glad? And you don't have to live in condemnation and fear and guilt and shame anymore. All you need to do is turn to Him. Just turn to the Lord. So they have wicked hearts. Another reason why people don't repent is because they love their sins. And that's John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light. John 3:19. Because their deeds were evil. So people who don't want to come into the light will remain in the dark. That's it. There are people who want to be in particular churches too because they know that they are not going to hear the unadulterated word of truth. They're going to get their ears tickled. They're going to be told what they want to hear. And so I don't like those churches that make me uncomfortable in my sin. So I'll find a church that makes me feel good anyway, any old way I want to live. I can still feel good here because... And you know what? That's popular today. Boy, you can fill up a church, right? If you want to compromise. Thirdly, people refuse to listen to God. That's why they don't repent. They don't want to listen to what God says. Zechariah 7:12 says, yes, they made their hearts like flint. In other words, it was a choice. They were refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit. And then it goes on to say, thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. You know, God's word is love. It's a love letter to us. He teaches us how to walk in love. His ways are always the ways of love. He didn't come to make you miserable, to steal your fun. He came to give you life. But we have to be wise, not in our own understanding, but we need to know the mind of Christ. To know that what God says is always good. It's always pure. It's always excellent. It's always perfect. The law is good. But people, they refuse. They don't want to listen. And even folks in the New Testament, we have to be careful that we don't refuse Him who now speaks from heaven, amen, by His Spirit. And the law that's written on our hearts by the Spirit, that we do not grieve as believers the Holy Spirit that was given to us. Not only that we don't grieve Him, but that we don't shut Him off. It's called quenching the Spirit. We don't shut off the flow of power. We need to be very cautious of how we live and walk so that we don't grieve the Lord and that we're listening to His voice. He speaks to us in love. He loves on us. And, you know, isn't it true that when we were growing up, and of course this is never true about you, but it was with me, where my parents didn't, you know, they were so unfair at times because they just didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it, how I wanted it, or they didn't agree with me all the time, you know, and I want to stay up to midnight, you know, even though I had to get up for school the next day. And so they were very unreasonable, I thought. And, you know, we sometimes do that with God. God has standards. God has ways for us. But sometimes we just think we have a better idea and we get ourselves into trouble every time we're wise in our own understanding and we ignore that still small voice of the Spirit. And another reason why people don't repent is because they do not give glory to God. Romans 1:21. They do not give glory to God. It says here, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Now, I've shared this before, but you know, if even children, you know, that may not have had any religious training at all, you ask children, is there a God? You know, it's very rare if you ever hear a child say there's no God. Because God has put it in man. It's in their heart. They tested a third grade class on this one time. And they all said, well, God is big. You know, God holds the world in His hand. They all had an opinion of God. And much of it was true to fact of who He is. But they all knew that God was bigger than they were. There was someone much bigger than me that was holding this all together. And so people refuse because although they knew God, this is the problem, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. You see, I don't believe anybody's born an atheist. And I really have my doubts whether there are any real genuine atheists at all. Right, Frank? Especially in the foxhole. You can ask Frank about that. Nor were they thankful. This is what happened, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, when we refuse to acknowledge God, to give glory to God, when we want to put God out of our minds, out of our lives, out of our society, then God allows a person to have their way. As a matter of fact, God will turn a person over to a reprobate mind. And so one sin begets another. When we start refusing to listen to God, usually with the minor things that He's first warning us about. Are you with me, right? It started out with a few tokes of a cigarette, you know. Before long, you're a full-blown junkie. Or whatever it was, whatever the vice might be. A little compromise. People, and fifthly, people do not receive correction. Why people don't repent? Because they don't want to be corrected. Jeremiah 5:3 says, "You have stricken them," first part of that verse, "but they have not grieved. They have refused to receive correction." Proverbs 29:1 says, "He who is often reproved and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And this, that's the way it is. We go on our merry way. We think that nothing happened. I'm flirting with disaster. I'm playing with fire, and I haven't been burned. And you don't know it until usually it's too late. Amen? Some poison takes a while for it to affect you. And but yet sin and the consequences of that are death. Amen? The wages of sin is death. But God is a God of life. He's a God of love. He has marvelously wrought our salvation on the cross. Jesus shed His blood for us. He made a way. He provided a way of escape. God's not wanting us to perish. He's not wanting anyone to perish. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. He wants us to call upon Him. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that He has something much better for us. He is gleaning a people throughout the earth, throughout the generations that are going to be with Him forever in eternity. And we get to be a part of His kingdom. And so we are children of the light, and so we walk in the light. We keep our hearts open before God. Amen. Everything in the light. We don't operate in the shadows. We don't work our agenda on the side. Everything is brought out into the open, into the light. Amen. That our deeds may be seen that they are done in God. The Lord knows the hearts. He's the one that will judge the hearts. And so what we need to do is take our hearts, our lives, to the one who alone, amen, is able to restore, to heal, to mend even a broken heart. But Jesus is the light of the world. And when Christ shines into your hearts and exposes the darkness, He drives that out. So we come into the light so that, you know, the darkness has to go. You can't run into the light and live in darkness at the same time. It just takes a little bit of a light, amen, to light up the night. And with that, I want to just finish with this. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 1, let's go to 23. "Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Do you want to understand? Do you want to know the revelation of God, the truth? You want God to pour out His spirit upon you? Then you need to listen. Here it's speaking of wisdom, but wisdom is God. I mean, God is wisdom. All wisdom, all true wisdom comes from God. He has become for us wisdom from God, Jesus Christ. "Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded." Now this is scary. "Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you." And look at this, folks. "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Hallelujah. We must be open books. We must be teachable, correctable. When God speaks, it is the law, amen? The law of the Spirit. God said, I do. Yeah, I want God's blessings. I want His favor. I want God to pour out His Spirit on me. I want God to open up His Word to me. I want to know Him. So when He calls, I need to listen. When He says stop, I need to stop. When He says go, I need to go. When we listen to God and we're faithful, then He will entrust to us the greater riches of the kingdom. So be faithful. Amen. Every day.